Blog Talk Radio.
Speak your mind, express yourself. Speak your mind, express yourself. For this is Speak Free Radio.
Well, 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 everybody, this is day two of Speak Free Radio. This is your boy, Brian Crenshaw. I'm holding it down the fort by myself for a minute, man. My boy, Corey Mickey, he's handling some business as we speak. However, today's going to be a good show. We're glad that everybody is tuning in and the word is going out about Speak Free. We relaunched our series for the first time in 2 years. We relaunched yesterday, so we're excited about the new season that we're stepping into. God is doing a lot of great things in both of our lives, both Corey and I. So yeah, we're just glad that you guys are along for the ride. Again, thank you for tuning in. Before we start every show, we like to pray and just ask God's blessing over the show. So let's pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment of just expression between Corey and myself. We thank you for allowing us this outlet to spread your word, to spread the gospel, to encourage one another, to encourage other people. We thank you for our voices. We thank you for our space in the kingdom. We thank you, God, for just allowing us to be who we are. We ask that you bless the show. We ask that you bless the listeners. Give us insight, and we'll give your name glory, honor, and praise. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Yesterday, we kind of relaunched, like I forestated. We relaunched yesterday, and we were just kind of catching up on some things. 2 years is a long time to be away from the people. And a lot of things have transpired over the course of the 2 years. I was licensed into the ministry. Corey was also licensed into the ministry. Both of Corey and myself have traveled extensively out of the country doing work. I had the privilege and honor of being married to my wonderful wife, Alexis Crenshaw. And we are now the parents of two beautiful daughters. We just had a baby, Addison Grace Crenshaw. That's our heart, y'all. So, yeah, a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have happened. But, work still continues. So we're, like I said earlier, we are excited about the things that God has in store for us. We have a lot lined up for you guys this season. This series, we're going to be talking about a lot of church topics, some spiritual topics, some spiritual motivational topics, as far as musicians are concerned, different entities in the church. We know a lot of things are going on in the world today. However, we really won't gear a lot of our conversation towards politics. That's just not something that we get into. While we are very aware of the political stance and things of that nature as it concerns to our world, we won't be dealing with that extensively because that's just not who we are. That's not what we want to focus on. So let's dive in. We want to hear from you guys. If you ever want to call in, the number is 646-668-8743. Again, the number is 646-668-8743. Call in and be our guest. Guess who showed up on today? I am so happy that my brother is now on the show. What's going on, bro?
Grace and peace be unto all of you, mighty, wonderful listeners. We are so great
so gracious to be here in this wonderful, auspicious occasion. Don't you hate when the preacher gets up after the word has gone forth and we done shouted and we done danced and all we want to give God praise for this mighty pastor? Like, why are you still whispering? Can't nobody hear what you're saying?
The glory is high. Come on.
Right.
Elevate
right,
your voice.
Right. We are so grateful, but no, I'm sorry, y'all. I do apologize. As Brian said, I was handling some business. I was actually handling business for the show, so we
Amen.
Got some big things coming. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, man, it's we do have some great things lined up for you guys this season. It's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be a great time. It's gonna be a great season. Brian,
yes,
what are we talking
sir.
About today, man? What's today?
Man.
What's on today's schedule?
It was so interesting. It was so good to catch up with you yesterday on the show. 2 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And I remember one of our conversations when we first started the show, or when the show was first being formed. We really, really, really wanted to help our fellow musicians.
Yeah.
And I was having a conversation yesterday, and it really struck me that a lot of people who play for churches, a lot of musicians who run after churches to play for, don't really understand fully their responsibility to the church where they work.
Correct.
A lot of us want jobs, but we want jobs because it says, well, if I work, I get paid $15 an hour. But what do you really get paid to do? And musicians, I'm sorry, musicians, we have it bad because, and we always say we're treated the worst as employees of the church, but do we really treat our place of employment the way that we want to be treated? And that's something, you know, everybody has a responsibility here. You know, yes, the church has a responsibility monetarily to, you know, to uphold their obligation to pay you. However, we can't expect the church to always be on time with their money, always be on top of their game when it comes to paying you for extra services when you slack or when you're not fully engaged in the word or what the church really brings. I heard a guy say, and this is no shade or no diss, I heard a guy say, you pay me to play, not to hear you preach. And I really, really, really found that disturbing, because how can you work for somebody that, first of all, you don't trust? How can you work for somebody that you feel you can't respect? Now, I don't agree with everything that my pastor says. I don't agree with but I don't agree with some of the things that he says. However,
You might want to fix that.
Yeah, it's very rarely, you know, that he says something that I'm like, I disagree with. Now, granted, if I disagree, we have a relationship to say, okay, not that I disagree, but I don't understand.
Right.
That's my responsibility. You see what I'm saying?
But even if you disagree, I feel like you should be able to have enough relationship with your pastor that if you do disagree, you can say that and it's not a disagreement.
Exactly.
It's not like an altercation. You just say, well, you know, I don't really agree with that pastor. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's a way, but that's very interesting to hear a musician say, you pay me to play, not to hear you preach. Well, I think the concept with that is, my question is, at what point in time is it your church, and then at what point in time is it your job?
Right.
Because
right.
if it's your church,
exactly.
you can't consider it your job when you get angry at your church. Because even I'm guilty of that. There's
yeah.
plenty of days that I played at a church that I consider my church, but the second I get upset,
mm-hmm.
oh, this is just my job. And that's not the case
right.
at all. Either you know what I'm saying, like either it's yeah. your church or it's not, because the principle is, if it's your church, you're okay with showing up even if the paycheck is not involved.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, my thing is, how many of us can actually say that? That
right, exactly.
This is my pastor. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? Like, for me, You know, shout out to United Nations Church International, Fredericksburg. Pastor Leslie and Lisa Vini, those are my pastors. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, granted, I mean, not diving into too much, but every time I walk through the door, praise our God, I sign a receipt that says I received payment. But, you know, but even if that was not the case, that is my pastor.
Right.
So that's where I'm fed. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I eat. And so my thing is, I think one of the first things we want to discuss as a musician, it's important to have a pastor.
Yes.
Not a boss.
Exactly. Exactly. You
it's
know, and I was having
pastor.
A conversation. I was having a conversation, and a lot of people who don't know me don't understand that. I attend a church. I am a member of one church that I attend regularly. However, before that service begins, I am the praise and worship leader and minister of music of another assembly. I devote 100% of my time to each church, so it's definitely possible. However, I don't disrespect the leader of the church where I work and the church that I serve. There's a slight difference. There's not much of a difference. However, I was talking to the pastor of which I work for, and I said, you know, I don't have a problem coming here. I really don't have a problem coming here because I know, even though I'm not a member here, I know that if I ever needed it, you would send a prayer through. There's no question that you have my spiritual well-being in mind. And a lot of people, a lot of musicians miss it because they feel as if their spiritual, I guess, consciousness is not a factor in church. It's very important to have a pastor because you need somebody to pray for you. You need somebody that's going to cover you. You need somebody that's going to be like a father to you or a mother to you that says, okay, I know you're gifted. But gifted people struggle too. Gifted people are attacked as well.
I mean, call me the bad guy. But my thing is, I guess my issue with some musicians is musicians that work at a church and then, you know, leave, they be like, well, I'm not getting fed. Well, the problem I have with that concept is you weren't looking for a pastor. You were looking for a job.
Exactly.
And so for me as a musician, don't change your, what is the word I'm looking for? Don't change your demands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Don't change your demands for your job and then get upset when they change your demands. You know what I'm saying? When your demands change, like, if you're saying, okay, I need a job, like, for me, I am at United Nations Church International every Sunday, unless I am released, you know, to play somewhere else or somebody calls me. But I play at a Baptist church on 4th Sundays at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm not going there looking for no word that's going to bless, you know what I'm saying, that's going to feed me. I have a pastor. I am there strictly because I work for them. Now, just like you said, if I need some help, I can know I can pick up the phone and call Pastor Clyde Ellis. That's his name. I can call Clyde Ellis of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. If I need help, if I need financial help, I can call him directly. Yes, I said, yes, his name is Clyde. Brian, be quiet. Here we go. Here we go. I'm afraid to do something else because I know you're going to lose it. So I know I can call Clyde Ellis. If ever I need help, I can call him. And he'll do what I, you know what I'm saying, because, he, like you said, he has my well-being in mind, but he knows he's not my pastor. Now, when it gets down to the heat of things, I cannot change my demands for him as my employer because all of a sudden I want a pastor. No. You came here for a job. We expect you to do your job.
Exactly.
And so at the same time, people think I'm not on the side of musicians, and there's no truth to that. I am on the side, but I got to play both sides. And I think, and maybe you agree, Brian, but I think sometimes when musicians get upset and say, well, you know, they don't care about my soul. My thing is, I could be wrong. Maybe this is why the Lord hasn't given me a flock yet. I can't care about something you don't care about.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, let's be honest.
That's
like,
interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're trying to help somebody from wrecking their car, they're like, well, I don't care about wrecking my car. Okay, well, let me out because I care.
Right.
You know, let
right.
me out. No, I walk home. Let me out right here because I can. We cannot as – it is hard for those of you who are listening. It's going to be really difficult for Brian and myself because we are musicians, but now we are also preachers. And so we got to kind of understand both sides of the spectrum. So, yes.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is, if you need help going to bat to your pastor, you are more than welcome to reach out to Brian or myself because we understand both sides of the spectrum. But
absolutely,
you know, if you need help, we understand. But as a preacher, I cannot care about something that you refuse to care about. If you don't care about your soul, all you care about is a check, then I'm gonna make sure we pay you.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But you've got to care about more. You have to.
Yep. You're exactly right. And you know, my question is, and this is a question across the board. You don't have to be a musician to answer this. You can be a normal churchgoer. But please, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from everybody. Do you feel, and Corey, you can give me some insight. Do you feel that as a musician, not a minister of music, not a praise and worship leader, I play the drums. I get a check. You know what I mean? I get a check. Do you feel that musicians have a spiritual responsibility to the house? If so, what is it?
You're asking me? Oh no, you're just asking a general question.
But I'm asking. Yeah, I'm asking a general question. But I'm asking you.
What was your question again?
Musicians.
Well, I believe that musicians have a
spiritual responsibility to the house.
A spiritual responsibility.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me start by saying, for those of you who are listening to the show, you can call 646-668-8743 and kind of give us your insight. Do musicians have a spiritual responsibility to the house? Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yes, we do have spirit. I believe we have spiritual responsibility in the sense of this. Think about this. Let's put this image in your head. Brian, please don't take this as shade. It's just what it is.
Okay.
I am more than sure in your umpteen years career of being a musician, you've been late to some service. We've been late together, so I know that to be true. I mean, I'm talking about 2 hours late to a service. And here it is, though. They didn't even start because we weren't there. But let's move on. Mind you, the pastor was extremely angry. Let's note that the pastor is Brian's parents. Doesn't matter. Here's the principle. So here's the thing. Here we go. So think about if you've ever been to a service where service has started and the whole band is late. Correct? I'm about to counter your question with a question.
Okay.
I'm going to answer your question, then I'm going to counter your question. The whole band is late. And the service is just kind of going. Now, the band gets there, and they have the ability to shift the entire service.
Okay.
Because they're able to pick up the spirit of the house, or they're able to pick up the sound of the house and carry the house, right?
Right.
Now, so that's why I believe that, yes, they do have a spiritual responsibility for the service, because they can carry the atmosphere. Because they have to be able to produce I hate using the words the sound, but it's kind of like evident. They have to be able to produce a sound that is conducive for heaven to respond, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my counter question for you is, if that is the case, does that mean that we go to emotional churches?
um I'd have to say no.
Okay.
And the reason I say no is because a chef is responsible for the product that comes out of its kitchen. So I can be a waitress. I can go pick up the food, but I'm not responsible for what's made. Okay? A pastor is responsible, is the chef in that kitchen. It's responsible for what comes out of that kitchen. As a musician, I'm the waitress. So I have to work hand in hand with the pastor, who's the chef, who's responsible for the entire production of what's being fed. I have to make sure that, for one, I'm not giving somebody else something that they don't need. But the chef is responsible across the board making sure that their product is what it's supposed to be. You never, ever, ever, and honestly, we as musicians, we kind of catch the bad end of the stick. You ever go somewhere and they say, and they don't tip the waitress, they say, tip the chef. Why? Because the waitress didn't do anything but bring the food to you. The chef had to prepare the food. So I say all of that to say we don't go to emotional churches. However, the spirit is subject to the prophet of the house. You know, that's Bible. The spirit is subject to the prophet. So if the prophet of the house or the leader of the house is off, then that means everything else that comes in that house, whether it agrees or disagrees, has to fall in line. So the spirit is subject to the prophet of the house. And if we are on one page as musicians and leaders, then no, we don't go to emotional churches. We just go to a church that's subject to the spirit of an emotional person. Possibly. I don't think the church itself is emotional.
That was good, Rev. That was good.
I don't think the church itself is emotional. I just think we are subject to emotional people.
Who lead our churches? Because shouldn't we be a reflection of the leader of that church?
You should very well so be a reflection of the leader.
And so,
very much so.
Yeah, so I do believe that, yeah, we do have a spiritual responsibility. I do believe, though, that is very important. And speak free. Blog Talk Radio might shut us down because Blog Talk Radio might shut us down because I'm about to say a curse word on the radio. Y'all, please don't tell my pastor. But I believe you got to be saved. Oh, Lord.
Oh, for this is Speak Free Radio.
If you're just not joining us, we are talking about musicians talking on Speak Free Radio. I got to reset every time that thing plays. We're talking about musicians talk. Yeah, I believe you got to be saved, man. You got to be. You have to be. You got to be saved. Like, and I'm not talking
and
about
honestly,
either. I see the video. No, but you got to be like, you have
just
to
have a relationship.
Thank you.
Just have a relationship.
Got to.
Just have a relationship. I tell people all the time. And it really, really, really gets under my skin. And I saw you post it on Facebook the other day, and I just kind of skated over it because I said Corey is about to start a flame.
I sure did.
Why don't musicians participate?
Man.
Like, you say, I'm not being fed, but as soon as they bring your food out, you get up from the table. Like, I don't understand.
Preach, man.
The presence is there.
I said the other day, I've been saying it, that we've got to be careful. I mean, we were talking about it, that you've got to be careful. I was talking about how, as a chef, you and I were talking about it. And I said it on a Facebook Live on Monday. I said, as a chef, what people don't understand is, as a cook, when you cook food, right, if you're not willing to eat what you've actually prepared, I'm afraid. And so you've helped create this atmosphere, and all of a sudden, you don't even want to participate in this atmosphere? Why should any of us?
It's funny that you say that, because me and my wife have this running joke. She will cook and cook and cook. First of all, my wife is really trying to, like, fatten me up. Anybody that knows me knows I'm 150, and that's all in my height. But my wife is trying to fatten me up. So anyway, like, she cooks these elaborate meals, and she'll fix my plate, and she'll sit down. And I'm like, wait a minute, why you not eating? You trying to poison me? You know what I mean? That's our running joke. Now, she eats when she cooks, don't get me wrong. But if you're going to cook this great meal and serve it to me with such gladness and you don't participate in it, I'm trying to understand what's wrong with it. What's really wrong with what you prepared? And honestly, a lot of musicians are falling into that category. They can make the church jump. They can make the church shout. They can make the church bump. I mean, it's nothing to go to a church on every corner and find a shout box. But you find the musicians who are responsible for making the people move because of the music aren't living anything. They're not living a life worth anything. You're not. And honestly, you can laugh all you want. However, I will go to a church now. If I don't have to play, I won't play. Why? Because I want to participate. And a lot of times when we're in service, we can't really participate like we want because we have to work. There are a lot of moments when I want to jump up and I want to dance and I want to do this and I want to do that. But because I know that the church is driven by what I'm giving, I can't let that go lacking. So if I don't have to play at a church, I will participate first.
Oh, Brian, to tell you, I don't care if I'm the only keyboard player. I don't care if I'm
we're not gonna
the
talk
only
about that.
Drummer. Once
we're
that guitar blue come on, I'll see y'all later. I'll be back in about 20 minutes. Let me tell you something.
And he leaves us all the time.
Oh, I mean, our shift conference, oh, man. Him, it was Brian, Charlie, Stay. They wanted to get up so bad. I was the only person that had a free way to get up. I was out of there. I'll see y'all later. Night. But, you know, seriously, I do understand what you mean, because there are certain places I'll go and people be like, oh, man, you didn't dance tonight. I'm like, that's because for me, and I don't want to say this arrogantly, I don't put my feet everywhere. Not because it's a bad place. There are some places, as a musician who is connected to the service, we find something that's called a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a pocket and the pocket are two different things. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The pocket is when it's tasteful, but it's simple.
Yes.
A pocket is when we find what preachers call a flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll give you an example. Sunday, we were shouting. I was at my boys' church. I was in Dumfries. We're shouting, and everybody's like, holy, they're praising. But we found this pocket with this break, like, I could not stop doing it, because when we played it the first time, the people were like, okay. We played it the second time, and the house is going up.
I mean,
saints are speaking in tongues. People are just full, and the glory is falling. I would not. Like, I couldn't move because it was just. I played it 17 different ways with cymbals, with snare, with just hi-hat and snare, just the track. I would not walk out at all. Why? Because we had found a flow, and that was the sound that heaven was responding to.
Right.
But it's about playing what you hear, not what you feel. You know,
right.
I was talking to RC, you know, who, trust me, he'll be here, he'll be on the show soon enough. And
he
I was talking
to
RC, and we were talking about something. And we were cracking up because we were talking about shout music, whatever. And he was like, because he was asking about some of my tracks and stuff. And, you know, talking, he was like, you know, where did all these breaks come from? I was like, man, they just be in my head, whatever. And we'll talk more about that in a second. But he was like, a lot of these musicians don't understand. You got to play what you hear. Because Brian can tell you, there have been days where we have played what we rehearsed and went down. And
down,
we thought we were killing.
Flames.
And the people are just looking like, this is cute. Oh, that's really pretty. Oh, y'all played at the same time? Oh, wow. Good job, guys. You guys sound great. But it wasn't what they needed. It just, oh, my God. Oh, wow, is that a class? Oh, that's nice. That's beautiful. Oh, you put a bongo in the track. Oh, nice. But it's not what they needed. It's not what the sound needed. And so sometimes you got to pull back in that arsenal of what you might call boring shout music, but it works.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it, you know, it. This is not about trying to get your church to emotionally respond, but there are just certain, like, you know, we'll just talk about shout music for now, but we won't stay in it for too long because everybody just want to shout. But,
right.
And, you know, so when it comes to shout music, like, there's nothing wrong with old breaks. You know what I'm saying? Brian and I will share this little secret with y'all. It's not about trying to send your church up, but if you want the glory to drop in your church while you're playing a bump, drop on one. I guarantee the one works.
The one works. Every time.
It works every time. You can play it 17 different ways. One. What, it doesn't matter how many times you play it. The one works every time.
It just works.
You know, right, it works, you know, especially 1-1-1-1. Man, the people, I'm the author, I'm the author.
Man.
Don't go up. It works every time. You know, it's seriously the one
exactly
every
right.
time. If you got a guitar player and they know how to what we call chuck, let me tell you something. Drop on the one and you let his little fingers, let him go. Because for some reason we're in the season of guitar tracks. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where guitar loops came from, but we're in the season of guitar loops. And so my inbox goes off every week. Hey, Doc, can you send me a guitar loop? First of all, I'm not sending you nothing. Why am I not sending you nothing? Because you called me Doc.
Doc.
No, I'm not sending you anything at all. And so, you know, we're in the season of guitar loops. I want to show y'all something before we move into worship portion. Is that, just want to give you guys a heads up, guitar loops don't work at every church, y'all.
No,
everything
they don't.
Everything you hear that will not work for your church. Trust me. Like, the way I church at my church, I would never church that way at We Church. Why?
No.
Because it may not work for We Church. We Church might. What speed y'all shout at, Brian?
About 158, 160
see,
on a good day.
See, that's not bad. See, our church, we have mothers. And so my pastor got a little, as it was one Sunday, she told us we shout too fast. So we shout at Brian. Brian is going to be in love on a double speed. We shout at 156.
Yes!
And so,
man,
Brian knows it. It took me a little minute to get used to that because I'm 165, 168.
Mm.
Like, the encouragement praise is 156. That speed is life.
Yes.
And so we dance at that speed. Granted, when I go to, and I know I keep using this example, RC's church dances at 168.
What?
That's 12 BPM higher than where I'm at. So I have to adjust. And so though I know how to play the same breaks at different speeds, like, the rain dance, 3, 4, 5, 3, that don't work at B-Dom. B-Dom, you got to drive them out.
Wow.
That's the sound of B-Dom is a drive. It ain't breaks. And if it is breaks, it got to be like stuff that's hard and gritty. You can't shout them pretty. My church,
man,
you can play.
That is so crazy.
You can play a major shout all day at my church, and my church will be in love. 4, 1, 5, 6. How did it happen? They'll go up. They'll go up. Seriously. You can almost play worship stuff at my church over a shout click, and they'll love it. Like, my pastor will be in love with it. Why? That's what works for them. My dad, you got to play a drive. You can't play breaks.
Your dad makes it happen.
Oh, man. You can't play breaks for too long. Even with Apostle Spencer, be like, Take it out. Like, you got to be intentional. Like, because especially if it starts getting spacey. And, you know, I'll say this and we'll let it go. Brian used to hate playing shop music with me, and I'm going to tell you why. Brian used to hate it not because I played too many lines. It's because everything I played did not include the bass player. So it was always cymbals.
Right.
I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do if you tell me cymbals, you tell me to stop. Right. So he would start playing his own, like, you know, basically. And it worked out, but I started understanding over time, like, what's the point of me being here if you're going to tell me to stop playing?
Exactly. Man, it is just crazy that you said that. And like you said, we're going to let this go because we could talk about shop music for the rest of the time. But I had a musician come to me, and just because your church is not really fluent in shouting does not mean you're missing God. I really want people to understand that. Just because your church is not bucking every Sunday or flipping over chairs or running around the church, that does not mean you're missing God. Like Corey said, there's a sound of the house that everybody has to be in tune to. I had a musician come to me the other day and was like, man, why don't we shout here? I said, because they're not ready for that. They're not ready for that. I said, you know, just because we as musicians can play shout music, they're not ready for that because they're in tune to high worship. I lie to you not. I can stand up on a Sunday morning and I can sing "Lord, You Are Good" by Todd Galbraith. Lord, You Are Good. You've been so good. I promise you, the church will pass out. Everybody is slain through worship. And it's been moments where it's like we're looking around like there's nothing left to do. These people have met God. They have been in tune to His presence. The preacher can't preach. Why? Because people are literally laying on the altar. Not at the fact that we've had an emotional experience through shouting, but people have realized through the message of the song and through worship that, dog, Lord, You really are good. Like, I really don't deserve it. You know what I mean? So if you are in a church that does not shout, you have to understand the sound of the house. Now, I come from a church that will buck for 2 hours. That's the church I grew up in. We will go. And we have no
before
problem going.
Before praise and worship.
Before praise and worship. Exactly. However, the church where I'm at now, they don't really do much shouting. Why? Not because they don't know how. It's because they understand that there's a different avenue to getting to God. They want something different. You know what I mean? And I had to be sensitive enough to understand that it is not about what Brian wants to do, because if Brian had his way, we would bump it. We would bump at least 3 times a Sunday. We would. However, that's not really. Say what?
I think I might get in trouble. But I think a lot of musicians
okay.
act like that because that's all they know how to play.
Yes. Which brings
all
me to my next point. YouTube has killed a generation. Oops, I'm sorry.
Man, let me tell you something.
I'm sorry.
You know, how do I say this? Just because you hear it does not mean you have to play it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And matter of fact, which leads me to another comment, just because you know it doesn't mean you have to play it.
That doesn't. Oh, my goodness.
There's this Corey Henry move that is really like killing, and I'm so glad I learned it. I was like, yo, this move is really killing. It won't work in church. Why? I'm about to say something that a lot of musicians don't pay attention to. Let me tell you why. It's a distraction. And so, if I go out with my pastor, and we're shouting, she's like, wait a minute, bah. And she's like, I want you to grab somebody's hand. My pastor look at me and be like, stop. It don't work. That's a distraction. I'm about to mess somebody up. That works. When he was doing that with E. Dewey, that works for E. Dewey. Why? Because him and E. Dewey has a system.
Right, exactly.
See, a lot of these musicians don't understand. A lot of churches don't understand is when a major preacher travels with their musician, they have a system. Give you a prime example. Laquan Patrick, he flows with Bishop Rudolph McKissick. Want to heal your mind, want to heal your soul, want to heal your mind, want to. He plays that line. Why? They have a system.
A system. They
that
have system.
Works for them. That's his trademark. Me, I ain't even gonna lie to y'all, I don't tell many people my system. My system's very simple. My band, we're church, blah, 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 blah. We've been made 3, in Dover night 4, but joy 5, joy 5, joy, they know, comes in the morning, 1. It's a system.
It works.
It's a system. And so I
said,
takes
me back to the spiritual responsibility of the house. You can't just come off the street and play for Rudolph McKissick.
You cannot.
And expect
you'll go down.
Have the same system. You will
go down
in flames.
All the way.
But,
trying to play what you think is right.
Prophet Brian Moseley.
Oh, Lord.
I'm telling you. Prophet Brian Moseley is one of the most eccentric preachers right now who travels with his organist. And people may know him, may not know him. His name is John B. He really started me playing when I was little in Richmond. Like, he really started me playing. However, they did a segment the other day, and Prophet was like, you know, if John's not with me, my system is thrown off. He said, because I never want to set any musician up to fail. So what happens is, because they've created this relationship, because they've created this bond, it's more than just a preacher-musician relationship. It's more of a spiritual connection. Why? Because you realize that on the organ, while you're assisting the preacher, you have an assignment as well. You know, music is more than just music in church, and I wish musicians would understand that. Yes, we're still talking about the spiritual responsibility to the house. Musicians have more responsibility than just playing. If you're off, if you're not playing in the right vein, then you are throwing the atmosphere off, and you're throwing off the vein of what needs to be given. Why? Because you're in your own little world. So Prophet Brian Moseley says, you know, if my organist isn't with me, my system is thrown off because I don't know what this musician knows. He said, I kind of try to figure him out, you know, doing praise and worship or things of that sort, or I will start with a hymn, or I'll start with a simple song. If he can't pick me up, I already know what I'm dealing with. Musicians, stop trying to prove yourself.
Right.
Stop trying to overplay, because you're going to go down in flames. You have to play what you hear.
I want to say something that's kind of off cuff of spiritual responsibility, but I just feel like we need to address this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, RC and my elder Antoine Jackson was on last night. Yesterday, rather, we were talking about this while we were mixing Judah Praise, which comes out November 7th. Don't forget, thanks. Here we go.
Quick plug.
How do I say this? Here we go. There is a difference between you playing for somebody and them coming to your church, and you playing that.
For this is Speak Free Radio.
If you're just not joining us on Speak Free Radio, we're talking about musicians' talk, and Brian just made a very strange comment, and I'm so sorry. We had to. It sounded like me a little bit, but we had to. But seriously,
we're so close.
Y'all lucky we only got 15 minutes, man. Cause, you know, yeah, seriously, there's a difference between, like, I played for Marvin Sapp. No, Marvin Sapp preached at your church, and you happen to play drums at Mount Enon Pentecostal Assembly. And so there is a big
He didn't
difference.
Bring his drummer.
Yeah, he did not. Exactly. All he brought was Terrence. He brought Terrence Ruffin, and it just so happened that you were there. You accompanied Marvin Sapp.
You
did
shared
not call
the stage.
You. There is a huge difference.
I tell people all the time. You did not play for this artist unless they cut you a check. If your church paid you for that service, you did not play for the artist. You played for the church. You shared the stage with the artist. I'm telling you, man. That's how musicians go down. Man.
Now, I will say this. Is it the same concept if somebody does an event with that artist and they ask you to play? Because think about it. If I say to you, hey, Brian, I'm bringing you in because Tasha Cobbs is coming. I want you to learn all her music. She's doing a concert. We want you to play the concert. Now, is that considered playing for Tasha Cobbs?
Yes.
Okay. That was just a question. Now, I can see,
yes.
Now, we're talking about, y'all, if they're like a special guest at your church and they use tracks and Tasha's happy track started messing up, so they just asked if you knew it, yeah, you accompanied Tasha. Because if that track was working, you wouldn't be playing. I just want to let you know that name.
You would.
if that track was working, you'd be clapping your hands. That's what you'd be You'd be clapping your hands. That's what you'd be doing. You'd be clapping your hands, trying to match the BPMs on your iPad IMPC. I gotta stop.
Yes.
I felt something. That's what you'd be doing. And the BPMs are 173. If you don't know it, that does not matter. Just in case you don't know, the BPMs are 173. It's quite fast. But the point is, there is a difference. And so if Bishop Jakes comes to your church. If Bishop McClendon comes to your church, I gotta stop talking.
For this is Speak Free Radio.
If you're just not joining us for the fourth time, we're talking some music. We should have never got back on the radio. And so, I believe. Stop, man. Come on, man. Gotta stay focused. And sing. Okay. And so, we've gotta understand as musicians that we do have a responsibility to the house. You know, it's okay, musicians, to bring your Bible to church. It's perfectly
right.
Okay.
It is.
I promise you, it's okay.
It is. It really is.
You won't lose your
and
job
I
if
promise
you.
You, I challenge every musician listening, seriously, I prayed maybe for a whole year when I first got to where I am now. I prayed for a whole year, and I said, before I ever started singing, I said, God, give me the spirit of the house. Allow me to flow in the spirit of the house and not let it be me. But that comes through relationship. The understanding of the spirit of the house comes through relationship, not just relationship with the people in the church, but kind of get to understand your pastor, understand, you know, what he likes, what he don't like, what he wants to hear in church. I've been away from my parents going on 2 years now. And I can go home and sit on the organ as if I never left. Why? Because I took so many years studying my parents. And it's to the point, it's crazy. Yeah, they're my parents, but they're more so my spiritual parents as well. So I can go and sit in the church and not play. And I can tell the person who's playing, if they're lost, I can tell them exactly what they want. Why? Because I've taken that time and I've built relationship and I've prayed and I said, God, keep me in sync. Keep me in tune with what they have going on, because I don't want to be singing or worshiping about oranges and the pastor is preaching about apples, because then I'm out of order. So musicians really have to take on the full responsibility of making sure that they're in flow with what the preacher wants or what the pastor wants. Why? Because it's very, very, very hard to work against the people who are working with you.
It's crazy that you say that because I'm so connected to my pastor, Pastor Lisa Vini. I know her like a book, and I mean like a well-read, studied book to the point where she could be preaching, and I know when she's about to switch into ninth gear. And she can something. And that's why you got to trust God. And even when, like, I just know, like, I'm like, she's ready.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because she was in Florida. I wasn't able to go. And there's a young man down there who knows me. He was playing for her. And he FaceTimed me, and they were shouting whatever. And she's like, wait a minute, but... And he says to me, he said, man, she's been complaining that something is off. I said, what key are y'all in? He was like, E-flat. I said, she don't preach an E-flat. She preaches a sharp. And he was like, well, that's the key she went to. I said, it don't matter what key she go to. She preaches in C-sharp. And so they took her to C-sharp. And I could hear over FaceTime when she says, I'm at home now. Like, you just got to know. And he was like, I said, are y'all shouting too fast? I was like, slow that down. Like, you have to know. When you're connected, you just know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
musicians,
take the time to understand. Take the time to learn. You know, you don't come out the gate knowing. Nobody comes out the gate knowing. You know, it took, I don't know how long you've been there, but it took a lot of you missing it. It took a lot of you really trying to understand who she is for you to get that. Musicians are so eager to back the preacher up. Musicians are so eager to try their new trick out that they learned on YouTube to back the preacher up that you're becoming what we called earlier a distraction. Because while the preacher is in a flow, he don't need to hear you tickling around on the organ. He don't need to hear you trying to riff on the bass. Like, musicians, understand your place, really, because you're becoming more of a distraction than you are an assistant.
Wow, and that's
you have
crazy
to take
because...
the time to learn.
Yeah, and it's crazy because my pastor does not care about playing ability. You ain't got to know everything. You ain't got to know 1,000 chords. My thing is, her thing is, if she's on 1,000, you need to be on 2,000. Like,
right.
And that's not in volume. That's in aggression. Like, it's not in, like, if she's on 1,000, she's going to be like, what do y'all do? Like, what do y'all do? And musicians.
Right.
There's a difference between a preacher getting on your case because, I got to watch what I say. There it is. Thank you, Lord. There's a difference between a preacher getting on your case because they're a jerk. And a preacher getting on the case because you're not manifesting what they need to hear. There is a big difference. And we automatically just assume that they're being a jerk. Now, there are some preachers out here, necessarily prophets, that I shall not name, who has a reputation of getting on musicians. That's a jerk. And there is a huge difference. Somebody's going to get me later for it. That's fine. You know my phone number. And so there is a huge difference. Like, for me, I am a musician. But if you don't manifest what I'm hearing, I'm quick to be like, that's not it. Like, Cameron, his name was Cameron Robinson. Cameron plays for me. Brian knows Cameron. Cameron has traveled with me for at least 3 years now. And 2 years now. And he knows me to the point where if we go somewhere where it's just me and him, he knows to tell, like, if he's playing keys, because Cameron does not prefer to play organ. If he's playing keys and there's an organist, he knows to tell the organist, don't play. We were somewhere, and the guy was, like, trying to back me up. He was like, don't play. And the guy was like, oh, he was preaching. Cameron was like, don't play. And I saw Cameron on my peripheral telling him not to play. And the guy was like, blah, blah, and I looked up and I said, I'm not ready yet. Why?
Yeah.
You just have to know. Now, this is, like Brian said, this has come through years of us learning, because you got to learn how to read a preacher. If you don't know how to read a preacher, you can go down. And I'm not saying
that. And it's more than just preachers. It's
exactly.
If you're following a praise and worship leader.
You got to learn to follow who has the mic, pretty much.
Pretty much, right.
Know when to stop the shout so they ain't got to put their fist up. That's embarrassing. Because most
real
preachers.
Can I tell you something that annoys me, and we're gonna get off of this. cue the commercial. Get ready. I hate this stop and go praise. I can't stand.
I agree with you. So I can't do commercial because I agree. I have to stop and go praise. I have an issue with musicians who play shout music when people aren't shouting. Why are you wasting this music? Stop. Stop. I have a pet peeve when they stop the shout and the preacher's talking and they got the track all loud. Turn the track down. Come on. We can't hear what he's saying. Like, wait a minute. I want you to grab partner. Ooh, tay, ooh, tay, ooh, tay, ooh. And go, ooh, tay, ooh, tay. Oh, my God. Like,
and that's exactly how they sound.
Yeah, like, bye-bye.
And chimneys and trash cans.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with the church that's doing nothing but Kojic aim breaks. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, God, wait.
For this is Speak Free Radio.
There's nothing wrong with those breaks, but that's a sound of an organization. I'm not trying to be shady. Nobody can do Kojic breaks like Kevin Powell and Josh Mayfeld and them. They do them so well. But then when I hear I'm like, oh, my God.
And just because you have participated in AIM twice, you are not Kojic.
I want you to know, just
never mind.
I want y'all to stop going to Ames with these cameras and go to Ames with your Bibles. That's what I want y'all to stop doing.
Hey, man. Never mind. Man, you know you can't cuss on the radio, man.
How come only the Kojic channel has the worship stuff, but all y'all got is the shout stuff? I don't get that.
Because that's what drives this movement. That's what drives this movement. And honestly, that's why I love, like I told you earlier, I love the church that I'm at. I don't agree with everything. God knows I don't. But when worship falls, worship falls.
I'm getting text messages, people telling me to stop. All right, guys, I'll stop.
Yeah. Yeah. My Facebook just blew up just now.
I'm like, what are y'all? Or, I'm like, guys, come on, y'all. Come on, please. Please. Or, Mike. Like, what are you? That doesn't work everywhere.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't work everywhere, and I want to help you guys out who have the MK. The Hugo bass doesn't work everywhere either. There are some churches that just like a nice piano praise break. Join us tomorrow on Speak Free Radio Show as we will be continuing our talk. I'm just angry, and trust me, y'all, I have an appreciation for praise. I don't even know how many praise breaks I have out. It doesn't matter. The point is, I have an appreciation for
praise. A billion.
Hello? Hello?
I told you the other day, I was riding with a guy. He said, man, and I was telling him about the Jew praise.
I'm going to stop playing music while you're talking. Uh-huh, go ahead, yeah.
You're so whack. And he was like, man, your boy Corey is the king of praise breaks. Like, I haven't really listened to his other songs. I just get on YouTube to listen to his praise breaks. And I said, man, it's so much more.
Yep.
Anyway,
it's so much more.
We will continue this conversation tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, musicians talk times two. Y'all join me tonight for Flash Word Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Yes,
it's going to be amazing. It's going to be on Facebook Live. It's also going to be here on Speak Free Radio. It's going to be great. There is nothing wrong with a regular praise break. You don't need synth. You don't need any of those things. There is nothing wrong with a regular praise break.
For this is Speak Free Radio.